And thank you, family. Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I trust y'all had a wonderful day.
Amen.
It's a good day for us. I'm busy, but we like busy. Amen. Well, we want to say thank you for dinner or supper, whichever way you call it here, the evening meal. It was delicious. So thank you for all that had a part in that. And I'm looking forward to tonight. You know, as we go through this week, you know, we kind of got all fired up Sunday. Men are taking the lead. They're leading the way Christ would have them to. Everybody has their communication all worked out now and understanding better one another, you know, and being able to communicate clearly. And this week, there will probably be some application of where there's some things we need to get out of our homes. And I'm sure there'll be some application where there's some things we need to put into our homes. Amen. At the end of the week, though, the prayer is that God would turn this family conference into revival and that he would strengthen our homes and he'll get the glory for it. That's my prayer. You praying with me on that? How many? Okay, three of you. Good. All right. We're in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Thank you for standing for God's word. It is worth honor. No doubt about it. Numbers chapter 11. I love hearing the sound of the Bible turning, don't you? How many have the Bible app on your phone? You know, I don't know who to write, but I want to tell somebody they can make it better by putting the sound bite with it. So when you push Numbers 11, they go, you know, and I think it would be better. All right, here we are, Numbers 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as a corner seed, and the color thereof was the color of Delum. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses also was displeased. Father, I pray that should there be lost among us, they'd be saved tonight. Mainly, we're here tonight. Of course, souls are always mainly, but we're here tonight specifically to deal with the home. I pray, Lord, that you convict us if this sin be found in our homes and be repented of tonight, forsaken and put away. Help us to have homes that bring you honor and glory, and that you might be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at an historical account of what not to do. I'll give you the title this time at the end. We all know that the devil is the enemy of the home and of the local churches that belong to Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to take a look at another enemy of the home and of the local church. I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet. We're going to take a look here at an Old Testament example that gives us a very vivid picture of what it is and the damage that it can cause. I'm just a little fearful that if I were to say what it is right now, you would be tempted to go, whoop, I don't have a problem with that, and shut me off. I got at least an hour and a half to go, so, you know, I'm teasing. So a little bit of background We get kind of lay the context of where we're at. The book of Numbers is mostly about the history of the Israelites and their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. 1 year after Israel fled from Egypt, they were gathered at Mount Sinai, and they received the Ten Commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle. After 430 years, God delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. Any Bible scholar that I've ever read or heard agrees that Egypt is a type of the world sinned in bondage. And when God delivered them, it's like when he delivers us in our salvation, he delivers us from the world, sin, bondage, and its power. Amen. Now, in Exodus chapter, you can just say right here, but in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt." Folks, I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to me to know that God sees what's going on. Amen. It goes on to say, "And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters." I love the fact that when we cry out to God, he hears us. And the rest of the verse says, "For I know their sorrows." Just the fact that he knows about it makes me feel better about it. Amen. So he's seen it, he heard it, he knows about it. And in verse 9 of chapter 3 of Exodus, he says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Folks, they were in bondage. They were in severe slavery. And they were crying out to God for deliverance. In fact, they were begging him to get them out of this bondage that they were in. And in answer to that prayer, God sent them Moses. And I realize most of you know this, but I'm just giving the background here a little bit. So back to Numbers. Numbers picks up 1 month after the close of the book of Exodus and covers the 39 years of the wandering from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea to the crossing of the River Jordan from Jericho. Now, Numbers picks up, the principal lesson from the book of Numbers. This shows you how relevant God's word is. It drives me insane when people say, "Oh, that's just an archaic book, it's outdated." You know what he just told me? He just said, "I don't read it." That's what they just told me. So God's people must walk by faith, trusting his promises if they're going to move forward in their walk with God. That's the key thought of Numbers, folks. That's what makes it so relevant for us today. When we get to chapter 11, the children of Israel are not very far into their journey. In fact, they're just getting started after receiving instructions. They receive the commandments and the statutes on how to handle adultery, the vow of the Nazarite, the priest offerings, the lighting of the candlesticks, the cleansings, the Passover, the trumpets, like when two trumpets sounded, everybody's assembled, one trumpet sounds, then just the priest, you know, stuff like that. So they got their marching orders. And now they're ready to head to Kadesh Barnea and on into the promised land. Amen, go team. Folks, when God delivered them and he gave them some instruction, the delivery wasn't the end of the journey. It was just the beginning of the journey. Much like our salvation, when we get saved, we haven't arrived. The journey's just begun. And the journey's to teach us to trust God's promises and move forward with the Lord in our walk with him. Amen. And that includes our homes. I assume they're probably about 3 days into their journey here. We're not going to split the church over if you want to say 2 weeks or whatever, but I'm going for 3 days. And we pick up in verse number 1, about 3 days into their journey now. Verse 1. "And when the people complained," They're just 3 days into this thing. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and he consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. There's judgment. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Folks, by the time we get to verse 4, this whole situation is in a mess, and everybody's mad. The people are displeased. Moses is displeased. God is displeased. So starting here through the rest of the chapter, I want to spend our time tonight learning from them what not to do, what not to allow in our lives, what not to allow in our families, our homes, and what not to allow in this assembly, the church here at Calvary. So if you're taking notes, number one is the people fell a-lusting after evil things. If you're not taking notes, the number one is people fell a-lusting after evil things. It's the same message either way. Here we are in verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, oh, and the onions, and the garlic. What, you don't get into your Bible reading? But now our soul is dried away, for there's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Folks, they said they fell a-lusting. The idea that it's talking about is they wanted something. They had a craving for something. In Indiana, we have a saying, we say they had a hankering. Do you folks in Missouri know what that means? They had a hankering, okay? So these folks had a hankering. They were craving something, and they wanted it so bad, they were crying about it. Like, you see the kid in the grocery cart at the store, and they walk up to cash out. Everybody's wearing their mask. Oh, no, I don't know about that. And Junior sees three musketeers and Milky Ways and peppermint York patties. He's like, I want one. You know, get the hankering. Okay? And it says they wept again. From that I can draw, folks, these are a bunch of crybabies. Get a life. So what were they crying about? They're crying about, who shall give us flesh to eat? They remembered what we would call in our jargon today, oh, they remember the good old days. Yeah. A parallel, or right here in fact, verse 5, we remember the fish and which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our souls dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. They're craving fish, and cucumbers, and melons, and leeks, and onions, and garlic. And quite frankly, that sounds good. Amen. These were the things that they ate back in Egypt. But wait a minute, wait. Time out. You were in bondage. You were in hard slavery to the point it was about to kill you. Literally. And you cried out to God, begging him for deliverance. And now you're claiming that your soul is dried away and you have nothing at all. What? Excuse me? Oh, yeah, well, besides this manna. Stay with me here. God gives us his thought on this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Verse 6, we see that God said about this count that they lusted after evil things. In fact, verse 5 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, all these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's God's thought, his opinion, on this account in Numbers 11. Everybody with me? Okay, now, question. God said they lusted after evil things. But in Numbers 11 said they wanted fish and cucumbers and garlic and you know, food. Is food evil? No, food's not evil. Is eating food evil? No, eating food's not evil. But God said they lusted after evil things. So I have to ask myself, self, what's the evil thing? And I believe the evil part of this wasn't so much that they wanted this different kinds of food. Listen now, they were not satisfied with God's provision. So they lusted because they wanted something else. And when we lust wanting something else besides God's provisions, we're lusting after evil things, regardless of what the things may be. And in this case was food, and which you and I know is not inherently evil, but wanting something that God had not provided, they're lusting after evil things because they wanted something else. They were same as saying, we had it better before we were saved. Wait just a second, folks. This was God's provision. Look at verse 7. And the manna was as a corner seed, and the color thereof was the color of dillum. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. I'm thinking that sounded pretty good. Yeah, amen. But see, this provision was God's provision. Now, think with me. Directly from God. It was a supernatural blessing. No one else on the whole planet was eating manna. Only God's people. And God was very, very personally involved in their lives. Folks, this was God's people. We're not talking about the lost and the lost families and the world's families. We're talking about Christians with Christian homes and God's families. Tasted good like fresh oil. A parallel passage, Exodus 16:31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like a corner seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Amen. In English, I was thinking Krispy Kreme. Oh, you've had those. Well, that's pretty good. This was a direct answer to their prayer for a need they had. They had a need. They prayed. God directly involved in their life, supernaturally provided for that need, exclusively for them that nobody else on the planet had, and they despised it because they lusted after other things. They wanted something else besides this manna. See why the Lord was upset with this? In Exodus 16:4, the Bible says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So God was putting them through a test. This answered prayer showed the glory of God, Exodus 16, 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So the Lord was testing them to see if they would obey him or not. He was teaching them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We live by the sayings of God. We conduct our homes by the sayings of God. Folks, we are a special people to the Lord. We are a peculiar people to him, a chosen generation. Folks, we ought not to be living like the world. And when we become discontented with the provisions that God's given us and direct answer to our prayers for our needs, and he's very personally involved, he gets offended when you and I lust after evil things, when we want something else. Studying this, I'm thinking about the test I've gone through, designed to humble me, improve me, and how I've complained and murmured and lusted after evil things because I wanted something else besides manna. Besides what God hath provided. Folks, lust will destroy your homes. It's offensive to God. Hopefully you have fared better than I, the times of the humblings and the provings, and not complained, but were grateful. Have you ever wanted something else besides manna? God's provisions? Are you content with God's provisions? Well, that's a sobering question. A very fair question. See, they not only lusted by wanting something else. Secondly, they also lusted after evil things by wanting someone else. See, they were displeased with Moses. We know this from the account in Exodus. Also in Numbers 14:4, they said, Let us make a captain and return to Egypt. They wanted someone else besides Moses. They lusted after evil things because they wanted something else. And they lusted after evil things because they wanted someone else. They wanted someone else besides God's leadership in their life. Church, let me caution you. It is very, very dangerous when we want another pastor. Wanted somebody else rather than the one God has over us for his leadership. In Ephesians 4, the pastor is the gift to this local church. Amen. Jeremiah 3 says that God gives us pastors according to his own heart. So I realize that no pastor is perfect. Leave that up to the Lord. But when he studies the Word of God and he preaches, thus saith the Lord, and he has a love for God, he has a love for you, and he wants to obey the Lord, you better be very, very careful lusting by wanting someone else. This got the children of Israel, how we used to say it, in a heap of trouble. You're headed for big trouble, folks. especially when the pastor's a man of God and your pastor is. See, there's trouble in the home when a spouse begins to want someone else rather than their spouse. Hey, wait, wait. It's the same lust. Wanting someone else. See, the 10th commandment in Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. See, you're headed for big trouble if you're wanting someone else. If you're fantasizing about someone else's spouse, you're headed for trouble, friend. In fact, I dare say you're in trouble. The imaginations of our heart are very important to God. We're to keep our hearts clear and clean. But when there's lust in our heart, we're not content. We want something else besides what God has for me. And then your discontentment breathes over into wanting someone else, and it's about to destroy your home. Yeah. See, lust is a wicked thing. According to a report I seen come through my email, pornography destroys, and 68% of men in a church. Now I realize this email definition of church and our definition of church, I'm sure, is like way different. Okay? Because I'm sure they don't have a clue what a local church is. But anyway. But it's still an alarming number to me that so-called churchgoers, that 68% of men struggle with pornography. That's serious. In this article, it said that during the summer when the school's out, that the hits on those sites are up 4,700%. So tonight I want to encourage you to get help if you're struggling with that. A counselor at a college, and I won't name where, said that his number one thing he deals with young men is about 9 out of every 10 young men come in, he has to help them get off pornography. Folks, this is a serious thing. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not accusing. I'm not implying. I'm just saying, you know, there's a difference. You get an email, and yeah, you shouldn't have looked at it, and you got it right, than being hooked on the stuff. And if you can't get off, talk to your pastor. Well, I can't tell him. Why not? God gave him to us to help us. The Lord gave us pastors. He's not going to hang you outside on a telephone pole. Okay? But you can work with him, and he can help you. And this brother doing this hope thing, I'm sure some of the men he deals with there, this is one of those issues. What I'm saying is there really is hope. There really is help. Get help. Young people, all the children, raise your right hand and wave at me. I'm talking to you right now. Sometimes this starts out when we're children having lust in our heart. Listen to me now. By wanting someone else's parents. Careful. God chose your parents for you. So, well, my dad's lost and he don't treat us right. God knows about that, but he still picked your daddy. He still picked your mama. And especially if your mom and dad are both here, they're saved and in the church, are they perfect? No. None of us are. When you start looking at little Susie over here and say, well, her mama lets her do this, and Johnny's daddy lets him do that, you better be careful right there. You're wanting someone else. My parents, I believe, were lost when I first got saved, And my dad was a race driver, so our home was filled with whirliness with a capital W, okay? But I had a curfew. How unusual was that back in those days? For because my friends didn't have a curfew. Their parents didn't even care if they came home. And when I got older, I thought, well, at least my parents cared enough to have me come home. But by 10 o'clock? Really? Nothing happened in our town before 10 o'clock. They must have knew that. Used to drive me crazy. So I'd be home right at 10. I wasn't dumb enough to be home at 10:01. I'm still alive, aren't I? Because see, in our house, if Dad said 10, he didn't mean 10:01. This didn't go out to Congress, and they didn't debate it for 6 months if he really meant like 10 Central Time or Eastern Time. I knew what time he meant, and I better be there. How many had a dad like that? Amen for that. Amen. So, young people, are you listening? You better be careful wanting someone else as your parent. You need to ask God to forgive you for those kinds of thoughts. And go to your mom and dad and show some gratefulness to them. Because it's a great habit to learn at your age now, being grateful for your parents. So when you get married, you can be grateful to your spouse and for your spouse, and you not have to deal with this lusting after evil things like these people did. You can learn that now at your ages. Yeah. Folks, this affects our home inside out, upside down. It really does. Amen. The Lord's leaders in his work need to be careful about this as well. Because even Moses wanted God to use someone else. Look at me in verse number, or look at, not me, but look at the word in verse, boy, that messed up, didn't it? In verse number 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. Yeah, that's a real man, big crybaby in the door of the tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly kindled, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the second child, and into the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. And I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. And if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Whoa. First off, I don't recommend talking to God like that. That's not a good idea. God could have whacked him. Another term from Indiana. Y'all know what whack means here? Okay. God could have whacked him and been just doing so. So I don't recommend go to talking to God like that. Yeah, amen. Well, Moses was displeased. He was displeased with the people. He was displeased with the Lord. He was displeased with the Lord's will for his life. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? It's not working out like I thought it would have. It's not working out like I thought it should have. I didn't know it would be like this, that thou laid all the burden of this people on me. Lord, what are you doing? They're not my people. I haven't conceived them. I haven't begotten them. And why do I have to carry them like I'm their daddy in my bosom? And then you want me to give them flesh to eat? Huh? Where am I going to get that? Do y'all see this here? I can't do this. I can't do it alone. It's too big for me. It's too heavy. In fact, verse 15. Oh, this one. I about fell out of my chair when I was studying this and seeing this verse. If this is your will for me, kill me. Did you all see that in verse 15? Kill me out of hand. Moses is saying, I am done. How many are like that? Why is it that God has to have all the circumstances just so-so for us before we're willing to serve him no matter what? And if it's not like we thought it should have been, or if it's not like we thought it would have been, then we're like, I quit. Careful. We're lusting after evil things. It's dangerous, folks, when you're not content with the will of God for your life. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy this church. It's all right here in the text. He says, let me not see my wretchedness. So I looked wretchedness up. Here's what I found out it meant. Wretchedness of a person in a very unhappy or unfortunate state. You think? Do you think Moses sounds like he's a little bit unhappy here? I would say that he is. Would it be a fair statement to say that Moses wanted God to use someone else besides him? Wow. Be careful wanting someone else, another pastor. Be careful wanting someone else, another spouse. Be careful wanting someone else, another set of parents. Be careful wanting someone else besides God. Because then these people, they made them a calf, and they said, let these be our gods. And they called it, L-O-R-D, cap, calling this idol Jehovah God. Because they didn't want God to tell them what to do anymore, because they weren't pleased with his will for their life. All because they had a lust for something else and someone else. This is dangerous. They not only lusted after evil things by wanting something else and lusted after evil things by wanting someone else, but thirdly, they also lusted after evil things by wanting to be somewhere else. The Lord said that they said in verse 20, why came we forth out of Egypt? That's why I believe it, because the Lord said they said it. Because if we were to ask them, they're like, what? Me? No. You got it all wrong. God didn't have it all wrong. He was saying that they were saying, why in the world did I even get saved? I had more fun in my old life. I enjoy these things more in this life than I do in this life now. Folks, you need to be careful when the old life is looking better than where you're at now. You need a revival. It wasn't better in Egypt. They were about to die. And in God's mercy, he heard their cry. He seen their affliction. He knew their sorrows. And in his mercy, he delivered them. And then in provision for their need, he supernaturally provided, being very personally involved, exclusively blessing them and excluding the rest of the world. And like, just this manna. That's despising the things of God. All because of lust. See, they lusted to be somewhere else. They wanted to be anywhere else except this desert. Even back to Egypt. They'd rather be anywhere else besides the will of God for their lives. Wow. Even Moses wanted to be somewhere else besides here. Even death, kill me out of hand. Would you all agree? I mean, they're in a mess here. Why? Lust. When God's will isn't what we thought it should be or would be, our temptation is to quit, gripe, complain, and murmur. Amen. Don't raise your hands, but wives, don't answer this out loud. Is your husband content? Is he always looking across the fence? Is he settled with the will of God for your family? Isn't that dangerous? Husbands, are your wives content where God has you right now at this point in your life? These are fair questions. See, lust, it steals the joy of God's grace. God has given all of us everything we need for our present happiness right now. So why not enjoy what he's given us today? Amen. The devil loves to stir that lust that's in us so we don't enjoy God's blessings. He might not be able to get to us because we have some godly standards protecting our home, and we should have. But he'll come in the back door and try and stir that lust to steal our joy of what God has given us, so we're miserable as a Christian. Oh, be careful, folks. When you're content with the Lord's will like that, you can go, I don't have to I don't have to keep chasing tomorrows. I'm glad where the Lord has us right now. Amen. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? Amen. Boy, everybody's displeased, mad, upset. God, Moses, the people, all because of lust. The people are mad. Moses is mad. God's anger is greatly kindled. So I can't stop here. I got to show you the response to this. When lust rules the home, the place is filled with anger. Is your home an angry place or like the days of heaven on the earth? When lust rules the church, it's a place of division. Is there unity amongst the brethren? Let me give you God's response. You ready? This is what we need to look at. Verse 16. Remember, Moses was just whining, and you don't do that because God could have whacked him. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, okay, here we go. Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and the officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may stand there with thee. What a blessing. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Folks, is that not God's mercy? God could have whacked Moses. And here he's saying, hey, you show up at the tabernacle tomorrow, bring some people with you. I'm going to take it to the Spirit of you, and I'm going to put it on them. They're going to help you out, Moses. What a merciful Savior. The goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. Amen? So God promises, now notice here, verse 18, and saying to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Well, God, I think I mentioned verse 20. It was verse 18. There's just a correction on that. Verse 19. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils. Ew. and it be loathsome unto you because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you. He was among them. They despised him. They despised his will. They despised his blessing. Wow. And have wept before him, saying, why came we forth? Well, I guess it is here. Why came we forth out of Egypt? Wow, folks. Did you see that? It was well with us in Egypt. That's a lie. They were crying and begging God for deliverance. They forgot that they were crying out to God and begging him for deliverance. And it sure not working out like they thought it would have or should have. And so the Lord says, I'll give you flesh. I like that part. And they shall eat. Not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month. Until it comes out at your nostrils, until it be loathsome unto you. Do you ever get sick on a favorite food? And then it wasn't your favorite food for a while. We like Mexican. We had a church in Indiana. We went out for Mexican afterwards. Man, I ate like a whole basket of those chips, pouring that stuff on, having a good time, ate my meal. I went home, there was like a Mexican war in my stomach. The Mexicans won. Next church, he says, do you want to go for Mexican? I'm like, oh, no. No, that's that loathsome part, okay? So I say that to say this. Be careful. God may give you what you're crying about. Just so that you'll learn that it does not satisfy. And that he knows best for your life. I don't want him to do that. Because there's always shipwreck and ruin. It's better to be content with what he's given us now. Amen? So now Moses, he sticks his foot in his mouth and doubts the Lord. Remember this Moses who we're talking about, he's the one that saw the 10 miracles on Pharaoh. Remember him? He's the one that saw the Red Sea divided. He's the one that led Israel over on dry ground. What's a little bit of food? But every pastor or preacher or brother in leadership of the Lord that I know has been there at some point in their life where they're so caught up in woe is me and having the pity party that they miss the grace of God when it's right in front of them and God's about to do something big. Oh, how many times have I complained? Let me read it here, verse 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. I'm not even counting their wives or their kids, but 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I'll give them flesh that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Reminder, don't talk to God like this. It's a bad idea. He could get whacked. Now notice in verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, he had this one coming, folks. Is the hand of the Lord waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. Whoa. He could have whacked him, he not seen anything. The Lord says, you just keep your mouth shut. I'm going to show you what I'll do. God, there's like 600 footmen, 600,000. That's like 2 or 3 million people. One day would be impressive, but a whole month? That's impossible. Then he tries to figure it out. All the flocks? No, that won't work. All the fish? No, that won't work. And God says, Moses, is my hand waxed short? What an insult to the Lord. You're going to see whether my words will come to pass or not. Can I just say right here, God is faithful? When God's faithful, and he is, that means he is certain. When God is faithful, it means he is trustworthy. When God is faithful, and he is, means that he's worthy to be believed. And the reason he's worthy to be believed, because he always does without fail exactly what he says he'll do every time. God is faithful. Well, I want to show you the results and we'll be done. Drop down to verse 31. And they went forth, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, and around about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. And he that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them abroad for themselves around about the camp. Okay, do y'all picture what's going on here? 2 cubits, that's like from this elbow to this elbow. So that's probably about knee high. As far as you walk this way for a day, squish, 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 squish. Get it? And the other way, you got your bag, swap, squish, 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 you know, and they gather all these. Isn't that just like lust? It'll keep you up all night, all the next night, all the next day, clicking places ought not to be. It'll get a hold on you, fulfilling their lust. Okay, look at verse next. 33, in case you lost your place. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Folks, the title of the message is Graves of Cravings. That's what Kibroth Hattaavah means. There they buried the people that lusted. That's the result. Lust will destroy your homes. It'll destroy your church, and very likely and possibly could destroy your own life. There is a price, a high price to pay for lust. There's a high price to pay for living your own agenda. Couple of questions. Is God well pleased with you? Or are you lusting after evil things? Remember what all God has done for us. Then we offend him with doubt, griping, whining, complaining. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for my lust after evil things. For wanting something else, for wanting someone else, and wanting to be somewhere else. Serious matter. I believe the Lord gave us tonight to strengthen our homes. Do you want something else besides what God has provided? Do you want someone else, a different God? Pastor, spouse, parent, careful. Do you want to be somewhere else rather than where God has you? I believe it's time to stop right there. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and stand, please.